You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Listen, Greeny would insist we talk about golf. It's brought to you by Comcast Business. And after trailing for most of the round, Victor Hovland birdies the 17th hole, which is good enough to send him into a playoff with Denny McCarthy. In the playoff, Hovland, this par putt to win his first tournament on U.S. soil. That's fantastic. Good win for him. Hey, by the way, our next 30 for 30 film.
Oh, my goodness.
The luckiest guy in the world. Four-part series, The Life of Basketball Hall of Famer Bill Walton. Parts 1 and 2, they premiere Tuesday at 8 Eastern here on ESPN. Parts 3 and 4, next Tuesday at 8 and 9 Eastern.
That looks like so much fun.
Oh, it is nice. Hey, welcome back to Get Up. We're live to you here at the Seaport. It's brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Brian Custer, Monica McNutt. Hey, listen, we got a whole host of people here with us, and we got to talk about the NBA Finals.
Yes, indeed.
Game 2. It was the Heat down 1-0 to Denver. And this was Game 2 in the Mile High City. And we pick it up under a minute left here in the first half. Nuggets up 6. Jokic touch pass there to Aaron Gordon. You just had 4 assists, though, in the game.
Not a whole lot of passes to be had or cuts to be had, honestly, in this one, Custer, by the Nuggets.
We go to the third. Heat turn it over, and here comes Jokic driving, scoring. He joins LeBron James, Larry Bird, only players with 500 points, 200 rebounds, 150 assists in a single postseason. Nuggets were up 8 after 3. We get to the fourth quarter, and boy, here come the Heat. They go on a 10-0 run to begin the fourth quarter.
Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, you better get their names right. They bounce back from dismal game one performances as far as their shooting. Throw Max Strus in there. The three of those guys combined for 47 points.
You know, Duncan Robinson had 10 points alone in that fourth quarter. Jimmy Butler, he had 8 in the fourth quarter. The Heat knocked down 17 threes, shot 48% from beyond the arc. How about Kyle Lowry?
This
is the Bam Adebayo.
Get out of the way, Michael Porter Jr. Like, that was either foul, try to block a shot, or don't slap him on the arm. What
get out
doing?
The way. But here come the Nuggets. They go on 11-2 run thanks to Jamal Murray, who knocks down a couple of threes, including this one. And all of a sudden, the Nuggets are within 6. But to close this thing out, Jimmy Butler trying to cap it off. No. So the Nuggets can tie. They don't call a timeout. They're going to just play, try to catch the Heat scrambling, and it's Jamal Murray. But look, is Jimmy Butler D-ing him up? Step back 3, no good. The Heat hold on to a 111-108 victory, even the series at 1. Jokic at 41-11. Butler 21-9. The series now 1 game apiece.
I just think nobody cares on our team. We're not worried about what anybody thinks. We're so focused in on what we do well and who we are as a group. That's what I think it is. I think it's the I don't give a damn factor.
Now let's talk about effort. I mean, this is NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, we had guys out there that were just whether feeling sorry for themselves for not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that, to me, is really, really perplexing, disappointing.
Perkier, Michael Malone, he said effort is the reason why they lost that game and blew a fourth quarter lead. What does Perk say?
Maybe.
I say the Heat is the reason that they lost the game. And seriously, why Mike Malone is calling out his players, he need to be calling himself out as well. Because, again, Eric Spoelstra came into game 2. And he made adjustments, and it wasn't big adjustments. Yes, he started Kevin Love, and he put Jimmy Butler on Jamal Murray. I'm not downplaying that. But all that he did was go back and watch film and create. And what they did was they made the right reads and They got the mistakes that they did in game one, and they corrected those things by making sure they were communicating, making sure those switches were on point. They contested, they played harder, they pushed in transition, they did their things with pace. And remember, Eric Spoelstra said after game one, he told those guys in the locker room, keep shooting, let it fly, shoot or shoot. We have to quit saying the Miami Heat are live by the three, die by the three team. I feel like we've been saying that since the first round when they were playing the Milwaukee Bucks. This team could shoot the damn basketball. Everybody been surprised. Gabe Vincent, I didn't know when he turned into Klay Thompson. Well, he turned into him during the first series. So here we are now. Don't be surprised when the Heat make shots. This is what they do.
Okay, Perk. But even when the Warriors miss shots, that's what they do. You still living and dying by the three, but I hear you, though. I think you got to give the Miami Heat a ton of credit on their defense in this particular ball game. And yes, they hit open shots that they did not hit in game six, or game one, excuse me. And the Nuggets defense just was completely disconnected when you look at the amount of corner looks, that left wing action that allowed Duncan Robinson to have that fourth quarter run as well.
It's interesting because Max Strus was 0 for 10, I think, in that first game. Knocked down shots. They knocked down 17 threes, shot 48% from the field. Jokic had 14 assists in that first game, had just four last night. And I want you to draw – you said you're going to show us what they did to limit the Denver Nuggets. So talk to us about
my favorite thing, a couple of McNuts and bolts from this ball game. All right, so – in the postgame, you got to listen to Kyle Lowry talking to our NBA Countdown guys. He talked about the physicality and the force that the Heat played with in this ballgame. So this is just regular. I'm going to let this go to the trap, and I want you to see how things get matched up. Let's freeze it right here. So first of all, Jamal Murray, head of the snake, he sees two bodies, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. That's a ton of vision, right? So his vision is now obstructed. Then you got this action. We know that in a zone, the middle is the soft spot. But looky here. Insert your new starter into this ballgame. Kevin Love sees that Nikola Jokic is an option here, and he's going to move on the flight of the ball. So watch what happens. Kevin Love is going to move on this flight. He meets Jokic at the summit, right? So whether this was going to be a pass potentially to a shooter in the corner or to this wannabe dump down of Aaron Gordon, first of all, you got to give Gabe Vincent credit because he gets right in here and disrupts what would have been a backdoor potentially. This action or this defense, Kevin Love on the ball, disrupts all of it, and ultimately, you get a Nuggets turnover, and the Heat are off to the races. And so more of just this intention and physicality here. The Heat are actually in their zone. This is Caleb Martin matched up on Nikola Jokic on his own. Nobody is over-helping. The ball is going to keep coming this way, and you'll watch Duncan Robinson not bite too hard in this corner, right? He knows he's got a shooter. This was a little bit of a gamble, but Jimmy, being the athlete that he is able to make the play. Again, Murray met by two bodies. Bam Adebayo is here. He now has the opportunity to meet Gordon in the corner if he needs to. The Heat are so good defensively and so connected, they're able to scramble out of what could have been disaster because technically you've also got this one up here, Bruce Brown, that is a capable shooter. So we let it play. They scramble out of this, right? The ball's going to go back to the top. First of all, you got to give Caleb Martin credit. He's bodying up Nikola Jokic so that he can't get the ball again in the middle of this zone, which is the soft spot. He bites a little prematurely because this ball is coming back here. Now, if they're smart, Brown is going to make a quick touch pass back to Jokic. But because Jokic thinks facilitate first, watch the hesitation here. He's looking for Gordon, who is covered by Kyle Lowry. We're not giving up those baseline back cuts, say the Miami Heat. And he looks first, and instead of just shooting the short jumper, dribbles into Bam, takes a much more difficult shot because he's thinking facilitate first as opposed to score. And so those are the examples to me of the physicality that the Heat played with, the force that they played with, and just the all-out hustle. I love a good organized chaos when it comes to defense.
So those are the McNuts and bolts of what we saw last night. You talked about the head of the snake, Jamal Murray. Steve Kerr talked about that last night on Draymond Green's podcast. Take a listen to this.
I haven't talked to Spo or anything like that, but I can see them in their coaches' meetings saying Murray's the head of the snake, you know, not Jokic. If you just look at it, you go, well, Jokic is the head of the snake. But when you play a team, you sort of realize, wait a second, like that guy's going to, he's going to dominate no matter what we do. So we got, this is the head of the snake. And I think they just decided Murray's the guy we got to stop. So you start Love, you put Jimmy Butler on Murray.
All right, so that's what Steve Kerr says. What do you think, Perk, of what you heard from Steve Kerr?
Why you got an attitude at Kerr now?
I don't have an attitude with Kerr McNutt. This is what's happening, is that Steve Kerr and I never spoke a day in my life, but it seemed like we watched the game at the same lens. He is saying the same exact thing that I've been saying all show. It was the adjustments that Eric Spoelstra made. Putting Kevin Love in that starting lineup. I actually thought he should have went to it in game one. And look, this is what happened. The Heat came off a 7-game series. They didn't have time to really watch film and see how to guard the Denver Nuggets. I'm not making an excuse for them, but what they did was they got to the film room and they started taking away a lot of things. And then Eric Spoelstra said, you know what? Let me go back to my big lineup that I started in the Milwaukee series, that I started in the Knicks series. Let me get K Love back on the floor, a guy that's one of the elite charge takers, championship experience. Let me challenge Jimmy Butler and put him on Jamal Murray because I know he's a pit bull. And you saw the results last night.
What do you think, Monica?
I agree. Yeah. I just want Perk to know that I agree that the Heat defense is the story of this ballgame. But I will say, moving forward, the nature of a series is adjustments, right? And just when I look at these two performances that we have so far, there is room for the Nuggets to make a ton of adjustments, both offensively and defensively in my mind. That's not to say that Spo won't come up with a response, because we know Spo is one of the greatest in the game, but I just think the Heat played so well. Now, if they maintain this level of defense and they can neutralize Murray, then they are definitely preparing to hold that Lario at the end of this whole thing. But just from that game, in terms of the effort that we've heard tons of sound from different folks out of the Nuggets organization and locker room talk about, the effort and the want to. If your bread and butter is back cutting because you have Optimus Dime, you can't cut one time and that's the end of it. There's got to be more action. There's got to be more pressure on this Heat defense. Now, if the Heat remain not connected, then you got some problems.
So they begin the fourth quarter, I think, down 8 or 10, Perk. That comeback that the Heat made, you think that was the spark they needed to say, we're going to win this series?
Well, it started in the third quarter. I thought the Heat never let this game get out of control. Again, the trust factor. When they went down by 12 points after being up double figures, the Heat just keep chipping away. And that's all you want to do. When you're in those timeouts and you're down by double figures or you starting the fourth, all the people are saying is, hey, let's get off to a nice old run. Let's cut it to four. Let's cut it to two. Now we're in the game. And I thought Eric Spoelstra also did a great job of starting that fourth quarter with Bam on the floor and going away from Cody Zeller. That was huge. Bam was the initiator on the offensive end, and that's how they was able to run their misdirection plays offensively.
Yeah, compared to game one, he was certainly a lot more aggressive towards Nikola Jokic as well. We're going to talk a lot more about this game. Jay Will's going to join us as well. But
Jay is sweeping out the window.
Up,
sorry, Jay.
More on the game. Nuggets head coach, he gave his team an F for effort. One of the Denver players, well, he used a different F word. We'll get into that as well. Plus, a KC dynasty? Just how many Super Bowls will Patrick Mahomes win? Travis Kelce's got a prediction about his QB. You're going to hear it next here on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Patrick Mahomes played in this charity softball game. Look at this. Behind the back throw to first base to get. Now, look, the guy who hit the ball obviously had a little bit too much barbecue, so it wasn't like he was hustling down. But Lewis Riddick, is there anything this brother can't do?
No. No, what you're probably going to wind up seeing is at some point in time, Brian, you're going to see this man throw this ball behind his back in a game. And you're going to see him do it and probably for a touchdown. Look, he's done everything else. Look, Patrick's in that zone right now, man. He feels like there's nothing he can't achieve, and I wouldn't put it past him. It's coming in a football game. I believe he's done it in practice. Let me verify that. I believe he has thrown a behind-the-back pass in practice. I think it's coming in a game at some point, though.
I think you're right about that. Let's talk about the NFL because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are looking to become the first repeat Super Bowl champion since Tom Brady and the Pats did it in 2004, 2005. With Super Bowl wins in two of the last four seasons, the thought of a dynasty in Kansas City on the mind of Travis Kelce.
We're 100% a dynasty, but when you put it up against what the Warriors have done, obviously we don't have as many championships right now. So we got some work to do. I think Pat Mahomes is definitely going to find a way to get more than four championships. Hopefully I'm still along for the ride by the time he gets there.
Okay, Mike T. Travis Kelce says, yes, your thoughts. Is Mahomes and the Chiefs currently a dynasty?
Yeah, but they are close. When we think about in the NFL, sort of like the all-time greats, Terry Bradshaw won four, Joe Montana won four. Obviously, there's Tom Brady with seven. So two is really good. It's probably already in the Hall of Fame. But to be a dynasty, probably four. And what's really remarkable, Brian, when you think about the Chiefs is – they're ahead of plans. When we go back a year ago, they treated Tyreek Hill, really trying to move some resources from offense to defense. And you look at their secondary, guys like Jalen Watson, Josh Williams, their first round of Trent McDuffie. They played a ton as a rookie, which is hard to do. That rookie class is just going to get better and better. So when you think about Kansas City overall, they should actually be better this year than last year. And that's scary because they won the Super Bowl.
Lewis, you think when it's all said and done, Mahomes, do you think he'll end up with four Super Bowl titles?
Yeah, I do. And I said this earlier, and I think, you know, when you kind of think about this a little bit deeper, you know, it takes a special kind of individual to want to sustain greatness, to sustain a high-level performance, especially after you've had some success. I don't care what field it is. I don't care what you're talking about. You know, people tend to get lazy. People tend to, when they experience some success, whether it's just for a brief moment or let's just say for an intermediate period of time, it's kind of like, well, you know what? I've done my job. I'm good. I don't really need to chase anything any better than this. Kansas City's not wired like that. Patrick's not wired like that. Andy Reid's not wired like that. And the culture in Kansas City is such that as good as they have been, going to three Super Bowls, winning two, Patrick having multiple MVPs, a $500 million contract, ownership in this team, that team, commercials, endorsement deals. This team every year approaches it with that kind of Patriot mentality that the Patriots used to during their dynastic run, which was every year's a new year. Every year now we have to defend the fact that we have climbed to the very top. And they like that. They embrace that. They want that. And I think this team truly, truly in the truest sense of the word, wants to be remembered as one of those types of teams that did what they needed to do in order to sustain greatness. And I think, look, that starts with the head coach. It filters down through Patrick, and the rest of this roster has bought in. And I think that's pretty cool, and that's why I think the sky's the limit for this football team.
Seems like every time, especially since he's been a starter, that this team is definitely in the AFC Championship game. So, Jeremy, which AFC squad you think is set up to challenge Mahomes and the Chiefs here the next 5 years?
Brian, let's go Bengals. I've already talked to a lot of teams who believe Joe Burrow has now become the second best quarterback in the league behind Mahomes. They have a really good young core that they're trying to lock up under contract over the next 15 to 18 months. Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Logan Wilson, the linebacker, all players 26 years old or under. This team has drafted really well, supplemented in free agency really well, and already had several near classic games with the Chiefs in the playoffs in the regular season. That should continue.
Mike Teague, what do you think? What team?
It's the Chargers, and here's why. Justin Herbert's ability, his ceiling to me, is up there with Patrick Mahomes. He has already gone into Kansas City and beaten the Chiefs. If we go back a year ago, Brian, and you look at all the injuries they had, Rashawn Slater, great left tackle, Joey Bosa, great pass rusher, J.C. Jackson, the big free agent signing at corner, they all missed a ton of games. If this team can stay healthy, they could stand toe-to-toe with Kansas City. They could score with Kansas City. They could rush the passer like Kansas City. So I think Justin Herbert's the one guy that can knock out Patrick Mahomes.
You know, the only thing that scares me about the Chargers is either A, it seems like in the postseason, whether it's a coaching decision or a missed field goal. That's the only thing that scares me about the Chargers going forward. Lewis, what do you think? What team out there to challenge Mahomes and those Chiefs?
Yeah, other than Cincy, look, I think Miami has to be thrown into the mix here. And I understand every time I bring up Miami's name, people go, well, Tua can't stay healthy. Well, you know, it's just, it doesn't matter because Tua can't stay healthy. Yeah, I get that. I get what his track record is. All right. I would assume that this year offensively that they are going to change philosophically to the point where maybe the run game, as you saw it last year when they really had it dialed up, was something that could really take pressure off of Tua and slow down opposing teams' pass rush and help their offensive line. If they can continue to emphasize that, if Mike McDaniel will emphasize that, they have got weapons coming out the ears. And defensively, they have got a young nucleus of guys who are QB hunters as well as any other team in the AFC or NFC, for that matter, that can get after Patrick Mahomes. This team is uniquely positioned to make a run and to start doing it this year. The quarterback position, obviously, though, has to be on the football field.
Yeah, for the past couple of seasons, we said the Buffalo Bills, but no one brought up the Bills here. Surprised about that. Time for a little something called, I'm sorry, what? Packers receiver Romeo Dobbs said this when comparing Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Quote, I think Jordan's a really good quarterback. And when you go from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan, Aaron was a really great quarterback. But I believe Jordan can do the same exact thing. So I don't really see what's the big difference. End quote. Lewis Riddick, I'm sorry. What is Romeo Dobbs talking about here?
Yeah, look, man, I think we know what Romeo's doing. Romeo's trying to do the same thing, you know, that Tyreek Hill did last year for Tua. He's trying to make sure his quarterback is in the same, is in that confident headspace to where, you know, he has confidence. He believes that the players have confidence in him and that, you know, look, it's gonna behoove all of them to go ahead and support him and throw their weight behind him to make sure that he doesn't lose any of that confidence, especially when the inevitable bumps in the road come. It's ridiculous to compare Jordan Love to a four-time MVP. We know that. We know what he's trying to do, though, because the game is more mental than it is even physical at the NFL level, and he knows that.
Jeremy, what are you hearing so far about Jordan Love?
Well, from people I've talked to, in year three, things slowed down for Jordan Love. Things seemed to click, and that showed in the small sample size he had on the field. So simply put, the Packers felt like he was ready to be the starter. They're not expecting Aaron Rodgers, I'm told. They're just expecting him to run the offense and to play his best football, maximize his skill set. They believe they've surrounded him with more weapons. Tight end Luke Musgrave in the second round is an intriguing option. Already got a little bit of a chemistry with Love, as he has with Romeo Dobbs. So they believe they're in a good place. Not perfect. They don't need perfection. They just want him to play capable football.
Mike T, what do you think a successful season looks like for Love and the Packers this upcoming season?
Stability at the quarterback position and hopefully the playoffs for them. They got two great backs, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, And if he throws more touchdowns than interceptions and solidifies the position, that will be success, and they could turn the page on Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. From football back to basketball, because coming up, what in the heck happened last night with the Denver Nuggets, and can the Heat actually win this whole thing? Jay Will, he's going to join us next. But look, we got a little sneaky Harrison here. And the question for Jay Will, Nikola Jokic, second player in NBA history to lose three games when recording a 40-point double-double in the postseason. Who's the first?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, here's the question we asked before the break. Jay Will, Nikola Jokic, second player in NBA history to lose three games when recording a 40-point double-double in a single postseason. Who was the first?
LeBron James.
Wow, okay. LeBron James is a good guess. Got to think.
Not the guess, apparently.
Yeah, you got to go back.
Kareem?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He averaged 34 and 17 rebounds in 1977.
With the Lakers. I wasn't even alive then.
Oh, my God.
That is fair. I mean, it's a fair retort. I was not alive.
God, you're so young. Let's shoot to Jay then, since we got Jay Will here. Nikola Jokic scored 41 points. Nuggets 0-3. With Jokic scores 40 in the playoffs, is this the way to defend the Nuggets? Just let Jokic score.
Well, they're not letting Joker score. They're just playing single coverage, and they're not leaving shooters. You're seeing guards that are stutting down, they're digging down, but they're staying at home. And when they stay at home and the Joker sees guys on him like Bam Adebayo or Gabe Vincent, he's going to attack. But those role players need to play better, especially on the defensive end.
Listen, the Heat hit 17 threes last night. Remember, they shot it poorly in game one, shot 48% from distance. Do the Heat go as the three goes in these series?
I mean, look, they came into the postseason being one of the worst three-point shooting teams. I think what you're seeing right now is them catching lightning in the bottle, and they deserved it. They deserve it. They shot the lights out, 49%. But still, the miscues, the miscommunication from Denver is extremely concerning.
Of course, Jamal Murray missed that game-tying three as time expired. Was this the right play call to not call a timeout?
See, I don't like calling a timeout in the game situation here, because then you have Eric Spoelstra as one of the best coaches in the half court that can scheme a defense that can throw you off, regardless of the play that you design. I like actually entrusting the ball in the hands of Jamal Murray. You wish you could have recognized that Jimmy Butler was being guarded by, that Jokic was being guarded by Jimmy Butler instead of calling somebody else up to the screen, but I still like the shot at the end of the game.
Okay, Monica, what do you think? He says he liked that they didn't close.
I'm living with it. I'm cool. Jamal Murray is this team's closer. There's no secret about that. The things that stand out to me are at the beginning of the play when head coach Michael Malone is like, go, and there's that 2-3 seconds that they could have gotten back. And then Yeah, that's a good call out in terms of Jimmy actually being the one to guard Jokic. In my head, Jimmy was going to go track Jamal, which I guess both things are sort of true because he ends up switching on Jamal. So yeah, I think if they move a little quicker, maybe you catch the slight lapse in terms of not having your best defender on Jimmy. I mean, on Jamal.
But also, Eminem, it's the fact that Eric Spoelstra, genius, goes small at the end of the game, right? That's a matchup that he sees between the Joker and Jimmy. Says, Jimmy, ball screen's gonna come here. That's always what they run in the game scenario. So you're switching from a guard to a guard. Mm-hmm. And when you know they need a three-point shot, keep everybody space. Beautiful scheme, by the way.
Big Perk, what do you think? Was that the right call?
My man Perk was there.
Well, I said that in the first hour, but look at Jay Will. Look at old Jay Will. Did I hear you say on the get up before this series started that the Miami Heat were going to get swept? Was that you?
Yes, that was me, and I was wrong. What happened was, though, Perk, somebody came and put some extra stuff in my coffee that day, and I, you know how that can happen, Perk.
Oh. Wow.
I'm just saying, here we are. And look, we all know better. We praise Eric Spoelstra, and we talk about the Heat culture, and we keep saying, right, about this team being the underdogs. Like, they going into every single game, every single series being the underdog when they actually are here for a reason. This team got some real hoopers on there. I know they're not household names. I know people are now just starting to know who Gabe Vincent is. They finally know who Max Strus is. They know who Caleb Martin is now. But these guys actually could hoop, and they're there for a reason. Jimmy Butler, we know what he's capable of doing. And now we're seeing the better version of Bam. And yes, I know Jokic had 41 last night. He's unguardable. He's the best player in the league. I will give him that. But at the end of the day, I saw something with the Miami Heat offense as well, with them attacking and putting him in screening roles. And now we're seeing a better version of Bam on the offensive end as well, too.
Perk, I got to mention one name that you did not mention, who I think deserves so much credit at the beginning of the fourth quarter, Duncan Robinson, who scores 10 points straight.
Right.
I mean, we talk about miscues. He gets Jamal Murray up in the air, one dribble, boom, three. He has Jamal Murray on the wing, drive, and one. Misses the free throw, gets the ball back, off the dribble, hits a deep three, then comes back and scores another point. Like, that literally got the Miami Heat a lead when they were down, when you felt like Denver was going to run away. And that's a guy a couple years ago signed that four-year, $90 million deal, found himself out of the starter lineup.
Ooh.
Out of the starter lineup, right? So that's a big win, how they keep their players engaged in the culture as well.
You know, Perk, you kept talking about these Miami Heat squad, and it's interesting because this was a team that fought for their playoff lives just to get into the playoffs, and now that they're in it, they've knocked out every big seed, whether it's Milwaukee, whether it's the Celtics, and now here they are going toe-to-toe with the Denver Nuggets. How do they do that?
Dude, like, I listened to those post-game interviews, and you could see it, you could hear it, you could feel it in your soul, the way that Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler speak volumes about this team. And it's crazy because it's like they have this connection and this belief that they don't give a damn about what nobody has to say about them. They know what each guy is capable of doing. And I talked about this earlier before Jay Will was on the before Jay Will joined us, the trust factor. Those guys trust each other so much, and there's so much confidence and the energy, the way that they pass the ball to one another. When you pass the ball with the right energy, you're going to catch and shoot with the right energy. And that's what I see out of this Heat team, the trust factor on both ends of the floor. It's no hero ball. One night it may be Caleb Martin. The next night it may be Gabe Vincent. It may be Duncan Robinson. They get it done collectively, and they have a true definition of a team with great leadership, starting from Eric Spoelstra to Udonis Haslam to two champions that are on their roster, and Kevin Love and Kyle Lowry.
Perk, I'm really glad you brought up the word energy, because I think when you are the team that's playing with more energy, and I think we all would agree that that was the Miami Heat in game two, the ball tends to find you. And so some of those late game bounces that to me were missteps as far as the team that had performed so well in the clutch, talking about the Denver Nuggets. Because the Heat played with energy, the ball bounces right back to Jimmy Butler. Because the Heat played with energy, they're moving when Bam throws that errant pass. And so some of those things that happened late in game, to me, the fortuitous bounces that favored the Heat was because they were the more energetic team. And the ball finds energy for sure.
I would agree with you. At the same time, if I'm Michael Malone, like, I am angry today. Like, KCP, you won a championship. You got to be more disciplined defensively. Stop sticking your hand in the cookie jar,
all over the place.
Getting fouls, the kick to Kyle Lowry. Why even put yourself in that situation? And Michael Porter Jr. just looks like an erratic offensive player. The last several games, everything has been one dribble, step back, jumper. He has not even attacked the rim. And by the way, he is a liability on the court defensively. Like, the miscues of watching him, there's a reason why Christian Braun played 15 minutes last night. So Michael Malone, who's been asking for this team the second half of the season to be buy-in defensively, you're seeing one of the reasons why he's been pressing that, because they got their tails kicked last night.
Mm-hmm. That was the first thing we heard when we went to the audio. Go ahead, Perk.
But let me ask you a question, Jay Will. When we talk about Michael Porter Jr., we see him being a spacer because they play so much two-man game with Jokic and Jamal Murray. I think about in the bubble, when Michael Porter Jr. actually called Michael Malone out about his offensive sets. When you have a guy that's on a big contract like that, because he's a superior talent in my eyes, don't you got to find a way to also put him in position offensively to be successful so that he's not in position to be taking those type of shots? I'm just asking.
No, Big Perk, I would say yes, but then what happens is when you're in that funk, you're making it about you, instead of making it about what the team needs you to do. I agree with you, Michael Porter Jr. can find different ways to score. That's what Michael Malone should do. But your defense should not be predicated upon you not getting the shots that you're getting on the offensive end.
That part.
That's the problem. So right? NBA
part,
Finals, man.
That's energy.
Like, we're here.
Listen, energy and effort.
We've already seen two games, so we got to – is it time to revise our picks here? Let's look at it. We'll bring them up here. Listen, I had to change my pick.
I was going to say, first of all, Brian just put his pick in.
I've disrespected the Miami Heat every step of the way, and they continue to win.
Are you doing it?
He did it.
I'm changing.
You just did it?
I changed it. I changed my pick. I'm rolling with Perk.
Wise man, Brian. Wise man.
Just like that? Like, are you staying with me?
I think I'm going to stay. I think it's a 7-game series now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to stay. I think
you said it was going to be a sweep. What do you think?
I thought
now?
It was going to be a sweep.
What do you think now?
I don't look. If I could tell you what I thought in the week, I would not be here. I'd be living on my boat in the south of France.
Word.
Okay. I think the thing is up in the air.
The thing that makes me the sweep, the pendulum swing to switching, to me would be, does this defense travel above anything else? Because even if the Heat don't shoot the three ball at 48% or whatever it was, if that defense travels, I'm not sure that the Nuggets are, like. They got to figure it out, but are they going to figure it out consistently?
I'm just telling you, I'm rolling with Perk. Carry the heck on. All right, coming up, one dynasty possibly coming to an end, another one just beginning. Are dynasties good for sports?
Boo!
Let's debate when we come back.
A wake-up call. Here's the final seconds of Game 2 of the NBA Finals, courtesy of ESPN Radio. Mark Kestisher.
Denver ball. They got two timeouts. They're down three. They're not going to use the timeout. Here's Murray at the top. Butler defending with four. Murray step back for the tie at three. No good. Rebound Miami. The Heat have won it. 111 to 108. Miami with the win. And the series is tied at one.
Well, looking ahead to Game 3, when the NBA Finals is tied up at one game apiece, the team that wins Game 3 goes on to win the title 80% of the time. Now, that trend hasn't necessarily held up recently. Game 3 winners have just a 4-4 series record since the 2010 Finals. Big Perk is with us, so let's play a game of what if. Big Perk, what happens if the Celtics sign Jaylen Brown to a max deal?
I mean, they will still have one of the best duos in the game. I think at this point, Either they're going to trade him or they have no choice but to give him the full max. The one thing that I would never want to do is discredit or not get somebody something that he deserved. Jaylen Brown deserved it with his play in the regular season, averaging a career high, an all-NBA player. He deserved his lettuce.
Perk, what happens if Kyrie doesn't go to the Lakers?
He stays in Dallas with Luka Doncic. I think they build pieces, get pieces around him. Kyrie and Luka will be special. We see videos of Luka getting in shape. Kyrie is still one of the most prolific, most skilled players in the game today.
What happens if Draymond Green leaves the Warriors?
Oh, the dynasty is over. I think it's over anyway, but if Draymond leaves, it's over for sure. When we talk about the heart and soul of that team, that's Draymond Green. When you talk about vocal leadership, that's Draymond Green. When you talk about an extension of the head coach, that's Draymond Green. The Warriors don't win any more championships if Draymond Green is not on their team.
All right, speaking of dynasties, in the NFL, you know, the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls here in the last four seasons. It's brought dynasty talk to the mind of Travis Kelce.
We're 100% a dynasty, but when you put it up against what the Warriors have done, obviously we don't have as many championships right now. So we got some work to do. I think Pat Mahomes is definitely going to find a way to get more than four championships. Hopefully I'm still along for the ride by the time he gets there.
Okay, so you heard Kelce say that. Monica, Kelce mentioned the Warriors. Have we seen the last great NBA dynasty, you think, with the Warriors?
I don't think so. I think it's hard to close the door on all dynasties as the talent continues to grow in this league. I don't think so. Now, listen, I'm not taking dynasties lightly, but I don't think so. I mean, if the Nuggets get one done, it's plausible that they open up a window. I still think Giannis is a force to be reckoned with when he's healthy in the East. I mean, hypothetically, if the Celtics could ever get over the hump, they sort of have the talent. So, no, I'm not ready to close the door on dynasties. I'm not a big fan of dynasties, but I wouldn't close the door emphatically, no.
Perk, what do you think?
Oh, I'm closing it, and I'm slamming it. If you look over the last, 5 years, it's been a different champion every single year. I don't see teams running dynasties no more, not the way that the league is going. Every single summer in the offseason, you see guys getting moved. You see superstars going to new places. It's going to be a new champion every year. I'm really ready to jump out on the limb and say, I don't know if we're going to see too many repeats, let alone a dynasty. So I think those dynasty days are over when it comes down to the NBA.
Lewis Riddick, listen, we've seen the Chiefs. They've won two of the last four Super Bowls. Do we see the Chiefs dynasty forming, or have we seen the last, you think, of dynasties in the NFL?
No, I don't think you've seen the last of it. Look, I think, obviously, you know, player movement is at an all-time high. But I do believe that if you have certain critical pieces in place, namely general manager, head coach, quarterback, you know, key moments at critical positions like pass rusher, offensive tackle, I think you can go ahead and go on a run. And that's exactly what Kansas City is doing right now. And I think they will continue to do it. And other teams will try and copy it.
Perk, are dynasties good for sports, in your opinion?
I think dynasty may be good for football now, but it's not good for basketball. I love seeing a different champion every single season when it comes down to basketball. I love seeing who is going to be the new champion, who's going to be the new guy that we talk about for us being the best player in the league, because, again, it changes every single season, and I'm guilty of that. But I love to see new talent. I love to see new people in those titles competing. It's just great for the league overall and for small market teams.
Monica, dynasty's good for sports.
Boo! probably because I've never been a part of a team that was dynastically successful. No, I love parody. I love mayhem. I think dynasties are fun to root against. I think those fan bases get all the way into it. You can't say nothing to them. It's fantastic in terms of sports fodder. But I agree. I think parody is way more fun I think dynasties lean into the legacy conversation in a way that is always fun to talk about. But no, come on, let's run it up with a bunch of different teams. Let's do it.
But isn't that one of the reasons why we watch when you have a dynasty like that? Like, let's say, you talk about golf. Every year you knew Tiger was going to win it. But then you had that thought, like, is this the year that Phil would challenge him? Is this the year Sergio gets him? Is this the year Vijay Singh gets him? All of a sudden, that's one of the reasons why we watch.
So you could have that team get to the finals, and then they don't have to win the finals if you want to split the baby a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, you could have a team that's always good and in contention, but we can get a different champion.
Interesting. Lewis, what do you think? Are dynasties good for sports?
Yeah, I absolutely think dynasties are good for sports. You know why? Because I think in team sports, dynasties kind of change the game. They're usually, when we're talking about dynasties, because that long sustained period of success that they have makes everyone else rethink, how do we need to go ahead and advance this game, whether it be football or basketball or whatever it is, in order to topple the dynasty. And then what it becomes for me as a viewer is I like seeing teams that are on the chase trying to topple that team that's the king of the mountain, and seeing how they have changed the way they build their teams and the way they try and, you know, develop their culture, what kind of head coaches they go after, what kind of strategies and tactics they try to employ in the game. And I think it's good for the evolution of the game when you have a team that everyone else is trying to chase because they have been able to master what every single team is after, which is sustained success, not just one season of success. Look, I understand, like, people like to like for it to be different every year and not know who's going to win. But to me, I don't really get anything out of that. I like to see teams that are able to win on a consistent basis because you learn from it and other teams learn from it. And I think that's how sports kind of really advances, because you know there's someone out there that you're just trying to knock off the top of the mountain, and you know you got to up your game. And I really think that that's really what sports is all about for me. That's what I like getting out of it.
Now, Perk, so he's basically saying he likes that Golden State dynasty because every year we're trying to find out who's going to knock off the Warriors.
Yeah, but guess what? We also get a chance to see a team like the Miami Heat, and then teams get to go and reevaluate themselves and say, hey, look at what the Heat are doing. Look how the Heat have so many assistant coaches that actually played in our organization. That's part of the Heat culture. Look how we took a chance on these undrafted guys that everybody gave up on. Look how our player development were able to make these guys into some real hoopers. Look at Jimmy Butler, who doesn't care about all-stars and all NBAs, but turn on that switch when it matters. So, again, we can look at it a lot of different ways, but when you look at a team like Miami and even Denver, then teams can learn from that instead of going build these super teams and things to that nature.
All right, appreciate it. This is good. Yeah. That was a great discussion. Lewis, appreciate it. Big Perk, thank you. Monica, thank you. By the way, baseball, Women's College World Series continues today. Softball, I should say, today. We've got the number one seed, Oklahoma, taking on the 9 seed, Stanford, at noon Eastern on ESPN, ESPN+. Sooners, they win, they advance to the finals. Stanford wins, they force an elimination game right after. And it is First Take. It follows us at the top of the hour. Was it a mistake not to call a timeout at the end of last night's game? Who has the edge in the series now? It's Molly, it's Stephen A., J.J. Redick, Big Perk, all on First Take at the top of the hour. Hey, 31st season of The Ultimate Fighter features Conor McGregor. Second episode, Tuesday, 10 Eastern, ESPN. It's also available to stream on ESPN+. Look, my favorite athlete, how about this guy right here? TCU's Trey Richardson at the game Sunday. Hit a grand slam in the first two innings of yesterday's blowout win over Arkansas, and he wasn't done. Richardson added another home run in the sixth, tied an NCAA record with 11 RBIs. TCU won 20-5. Talk about doing work at the plate.
Yeah, that's what he did after those home runs. First Take at the top of the hour. Come on, get up.